If you would to be approached to approach a pride of lions, how many of you would have the confidence and the boldness to go up to a pride of lions and to walk boldly into their presence? Anybody here? Anybody here have the confidence to stick your hand into a nest of vipers? I confess to you, I don't have that kind of confidence. I don't have that kind of boldness. I have a fear of doing that. That makes me afraid. You all know our dog, Zoe. We've had her for 18 years now. And when we first got her as a puppy, it's hard to believe she's 18 and a half. When we first got her as a puppy, she was 3 months old. She was a rescue dog. We had gotten her from one of those puppy mills down in the southern end of the county. And we walked down there, and Kim and I, the day we were there, the state happened to be there investigating, I think, ready to close it down. And Kim says, we're going to take one of these puppies home with us. But we got Zoe. We picked her because when we picked her up to hold her, she kissed me. And then I gave her to Kim, and she kissed Kim. We said, that's the one. So we brought her home, and anytime we went to go near her, she would just go back in the, to approach her. She would go back in the corner, and she would just cower and shake in fear. And we couldn't even go near her. We couldn't even approach her to pet her or anything. She would just cower, and she would just shake. Apparently, she had been abused and mistreated at the kennel where she was, and she had a terrible fear of people, especially men. And she would just cower and shake. But with working with her and with love and building up a relationship with her of trust, she's at the point now where as soon as we come, she runs. Well, she doesn't run anymore at 18. But she loves to us. She comes and her tail's wagging and she's ready to greet anybody that's there to see her. And Carolyn knows. She's ready. She has that love for people. And what made the difference was a relationship. A relationship which she got to know us of trust and reliance. And it's because of that that we can approach the throne of God. Now this week, Kim and I became those crazy pet parents that we thought we would never ever be. Zoe is getting to be 18 and a half, as I said, and she loves to go outside and she loves to go on walks, but it's hard for her anymore at her age. When she has degenerative disease and she can barely walk and put any weight on her legs. So Kim says, we got to do something about that. So we became crazy pet parents this week. And we bought her one of those strollers that we never thought we would do. You know, we've seen these people putting dogs in strollers and taking them for a walk. We said, we're not ever going to be one of them. Well, guess what? We are. And there she is. But she loves it. And today, and so now you see the weather nice, you're going to see her walking on her stroller on the trail. So at least it gets us down the trail. We can get her down there now. But the relationship of trust. As we come before the Lord this morning, we're told in Scripture that Gene just read that we're to approach the throne, God's throne. And we have to have, we're told to have fear of the Lord, and that fear is reverence and respect for him. But at the same time, when we come before him, we can come with confidence. That word confidence means boldness. That when we come before the Lord and we come into his presence, we can come with assurance and confidence as we come before the Lord. We don't have to cower in fear. We don't have to be afraid of our God. Aren't you thankful for that? Because of what Jesus has done. And he's given us the privilege of prayer. And prayer truly is a privilege that we can talk to him. And that we can come into his presence and know that he is eager to hear. So this morning as we go to the word, let's look together and discover three reasons why we can come to God's throne with confidence. And the blessings that are we assured of as we do. We can approach with confidence this morning as we come before our Lord, as we come to him in prayer, as we worship him, as we come into his presence. We can come with confidence because we know that we will receive welcome. We will receive our Lord who will welcome us and who will receive us and always is eager to hear and to receive us unto his side. Verse 14 says that therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. We have that assurance that God will receive us when we come before him. And if you have a burden on your heart, if you have a concern, or in worship, know that he will receive you because, dramatic effect here, the curtain is open. That our Lord has opened the curtain for us and entered us into his presence. It tells us that Jesus went through the veil and into the heavens for us. Because see, in the Old Testament times when the Hebrews had to worship, and they were familiar with what the author was writing here. Because whenever God had designed the temple and the tabernacle, there was what was called a veil or a curtain, a very thick curtain that separated the holy place where the priest would minister from the most holy place. And the most holy place was where the Ark of the Covenant was and had the mercy seat where the blood would be applied. And there was a big thick curtain that separated the people and the priest from entering into that place where God's presence dwelt. And they could not go there. There was a separation, and it was to remind that our sins had separated us from God. Once a year, the high priest could enter through that curtain and pass through that curtain into the most holy place once a year with the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And he would take that blood and he would apply it to the horns of the altar and he would apply it there before the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, and God would give forgiveness. But once a year only the high priest could go in. But we're told that Jesus passed through, not through the curtain, but he passed through the heavens into the heavenly tabernacle where he has ever setting for us. And we're told that when Jesus died on the cross, something miraculous happened. Because when he died on the cross, the veil, that curtain that was between the holy place and the most holy place, split in two. And the Bible says from the top to the bottom, it was torn apart and torn asunder. And what God was saying was, now through Jesus, he has provided a way that we can go directly to the Father and have access to his very own throne room. So when you pray, you have access directly to God. You don't have to go through any man anymore. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through anybody else. You can go directly through Jesus to God himself. Isn't that a privilege? The curtain is open. We can come directly to him. So bring your burdens to him. Bring your sorrows. God will welcome you there. Because he is our high priest who went through the heavens for us. And he says, hold firmly to that profession. Hold firmly to that faith and that confidence that we have. In the movie The Wizard of Oz, as Dorothy has heard about, as she was taken by a tornado to the land of Oz, and then at first she was filled with joy to get there, but then the rest of the movie she wanted to get back home. And she heard about a wizard who had the power to do miraculous things, and she wanted to see this wizard, as you know the story, and meet him so that she could, hopefully, he would be able to help her get back home to Kansas. So they finally get to the throne room of the wizard after they had accomplished the task that he had told them to do, to bring back the wicked witch's broomstick, and they had done all that. And they get there, and she gives their request before the wizard, who she thought was the wizard. And she's sharing her request with him. And Toto, remember, pulls the curtain back. And the guy who's the real wizard says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But the curtain was pulled open and it was revealed who he really was. And that access, then they had that personal access to him. But see, that's what Jesus did. He pulled back the curtain into the very presence of what was forbidden, the holy place of God, his holy presence where people did not have access before. But now through Jesus, we do. And so what a difference Jesus has made. Come before him with confidence. Know that he will welcome you into his very own presence. Now I ask you, do you have the confidence or the boldness? I don't. I'm sure you don't either. But do you have the confidence or the boldness to go up to the Queen of England or the President of the United States and approach them with confidence and say, hey, you know, we don't have that kind of access. But we do with our Lord. than we do with our God, who's the King of Kings in the universe. And he welcomes us and pulled back the curtain before him. We'll receive welcome because the curtain is open, but we'll also receive welcome because the scepter is extended. The last part of verse 14 says, hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Because in the ancient world, a throne was a forbidding place. It was a place of sovereign authority and judgment. And if you approached a throne of a king, and you went into their throne room and approached them without the king extending his scepter to you, you know what that meant? If you go into the presence of a king and he didn't extend his scepter, that meant off with your head. You know, and I mean, that's what it meant. And if you read that in the book of Esther, whenever she found out about the plot that Haman was going to destroy the Jews, and she said, I'll go in before the king, and if I perish, I perish. And remember, he did extend his scepter to her. He granted her favor. But the good news with our God is his scepter is always extended to you and me. His arms are always out. His arms are always open to welcome us to himself and says, come. I grant you favor. Bring to me your concern. And also in ancient times, and how radical what Jesus has done for us, in ancient times, and it's hard for us to grasp this because we're so removed from that time. Plus, we have a president. We don't have a king. But if we had a king and in sovereign times, you would never, ever not only approach the throne uninvited, but you also wouldn't approach the throne for trivial matters. You wouldn't approach him for sympathy. You wouldn't approach him for something that was a mere trivial concern. You wouldn't bother bringing that before the king. It was not something you would do. But you know, our king, our God, has the scepter extended to you, and he doesn't care how trivial your concern may be, because if it's a concern to you, it's a concern to him, right? And how small you may think it is, it doesn't matter. We can take it to our Lord, and he will welcome us, because his scepter is always extended to us. What a privilege. So approach him with confidence, because it truly is an honor to know that we will be received. Satan sometimes likes to keep us from prayer, because he knows if he can keep us from prayer, we're not going to connect it to the Lord like we should. We're not going to get the power that we need. And one of the ways he keeps us from prayer is to tell us, oh, your problem is not, it's not important enough to bother God, or it's too insignificant for him. Or God doesn't care. But he does. And we have that privilege. So come before him with confidence, friends, because you will receive welcome. And he will always have his hands extended to you. Praise God for that. We also can approach him with confidence this morning because we will receive sympathy. Not only will he welcome us, but he will sympathize with us. Verse 15 says that we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. For we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. And our God, our Savior, who is our high priest, the one who intercedes for us before the Father, is able to sympathize and show us sympathy or compassion. And he truly cares. We don't have to feel it's a bother to come to God. We don't have to feel that we are bothering him with our concerns, because he is sympathetic and he intercedes for us. As our great high priest, he will sympathize with our weaknesses. And in ancient times, you would never, ever draw near a throne for sympathy. You would never do it. You would never ask the king for mercy or sympathy. That was not done. But with our God, we have that privilege. No concern is too small or too great. And we can draw near because he has sympathy. We can come to his throne, and when we do, he won't ridicule you. He won't belittle you. All he will do is receive you and love you through his grace, through Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus that has made us worthy. And that's why we can approach his grace with confidence, because our high priest went through the heavens for us. Through his blood, through his sacrifice, he has paid the price. and through our faith in him. That's why he says, hold on to that faith that we profess. Through our faith in him, we have that assurance that we'll be received and that he cares for us. He is sympathetic. Jesus is able to identify with us, we'll see, in every way. And he has sympathy. Back to the movie The Wizard of Oz again. And this was Kim's favorite movie. But you may remember a scene in there whenever Dorothy and the Scarecrow and Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion arrived at Emerald City. And they were all excited for getting there, thinking they were going to see the wizard. And they were at a great time of celebration there. And they approached the door going back to the throne room. And they went to the door that went back to the throne room. And they knocked on it. And the guy opened up the door. And they said, "We would like to see the wizard, please." Remember, and he says, "Nobody sees a wizard, no how, no way." And he closed the door and he said, and the wizard says, "Go away and come, don't come back again." And she sat down and she started to cry. She started to weep, if you remember that scene. And she said, "I'm never going to get back home. And Auntie M was sick. And I'm not ever going to get back home again." And she's crying. And then the guy at the door, the gatekeeper, opened up the door, who happened to be the wizard, which you find out later. But he opens up the door and he starts to cry, remembering the tears are flowing down his face. And he says, "Don't cry. I'll get you in to see the wizard somehow." And at that sympathy and compassion, and see, that's what our Lord has for you and for me. And he says, "I share that with you, and I sympathize with you, and what you are going through, I understand and I care for. And the burdens in your heart, I share." So he says, "Bring them to me, because as our Father and as our God, he cares, and he is able to respond and do something about it." And that's a privilege. We have a God who sympathizes with us. You know, that is radical, because a lot of the other, quote, religions out there, and Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, but a lot of the other religions out there, their God are angry gods. Their God are gods you cannot get their favor, and they're gods that are gods full of wrath. Our God is holy. Yes, he's just, but at the same time, he is merciful. And he is sympathized. He sympathizes with you. And he shares your concerns and sorrows. So bring them to him. Because he identifies with, he intercedes with us, but he also identifies with us. It says here that he can sympathize with us because he was tempted every way as we are. Yet he didn't sin. That Jesus understands everything. Not only does he care, but he understands all that you've gone through, all the burdens you carry, all the sins that you struggle with. Jesus Christ himself was tempted in every way we are. He understands those burdens of temptation that are strong sometimes. He understands the worry, the anxieties, the doubts, all that we carry. He went through it himself. But he overcame. And he can identify with you. He understands. And isn't it a comfort to know that Jesus understands you so well? He understands you better than anybody else ever will. And he identifies with us. Came across the story this week of a boy who wanted to buy some puppies. And it illustrates how Jesus sympathizes with us and our weaknesses and problems. And this boy noticed a sign. He was walking down the town one day, or going through a town one day, and he noticed a sign that said, "Puppies for sale." So he asked the guy he was selling, he said, "How much are the puppies, mister?" And the guy said, $25, son. And the boy's face dropped. He says, "Well, sir, can I at least see them anyway? I'd like to see them." So the man said, "Okay." So the man whistled and the mother dog came around the corner. $25, Carolyn, for a dog. That's pretty good, isn't it? But I guess for a boy, though, it was pretty hard. But the mother whistled and the mother came around the corner, followed by four cute puppies wagging their tails and yipping happily. And then lagging behind those four came another little puppy dragging one leg, coming around the corner all by itself. And the boy noticed that one, and he said to the man who was selling the puppies, he said, "What's the matter with that one, sir?" And he says, "Well, son," he said, "that puppy is crippled. The vet took an x-ray and he found out that it doesn't have a hip socket and it will never ever be right. And the man was surprised when the boy said, "That's the one I want, sir. Can I pay a little each week for him?" And the owner replied, he says, "Well, son, surely you don't understand. That pup will never be able to walk or write at all. It's going to be a cripple forever. Why would you want a pup like that?" At that, the boy reached down and pulled up his pant leg and revealed a brace. And he said, "I don't walk too good either, mister." And he looked down at the puppy and he said, "That puppy is going to need a lot of love and understanding. It's not easy being crippled." And the man says, "Well, you can have the puppy for free because I know that you will take good care of him." That's a picture of our Savior's sympathy for you and for me. That he understands exactly the pain, the burdens, the sorrows that we carry through of life, the pressures of life. Imagine that. Jesus didn't have to leave heaven, but he did because he loved you and me so much, and he left the glories of heaven and he came down to this earth with all of its problems and frustrations and sorrows, and he shared in that for you and for me so that he could identify with us in everything we go through. That's a privilege. And so take advantage of that and come before him with confidence, knowing that he will welcome you, but he also sympathizes with you. He cares deeply for us and for our concerns. What a privilege. But also, we find out this morning, we can come before him with confidence because we will receive help. We'll receive welcome, we'll receive sympathy, and we'll receive help. Verse 16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence." That word confidence means, some translations say boldness. Another word for it is assurance. But it's because of what Jesus has done for us. But approach with confidence because we will receive what? Mercy and grace to help us in times of need. God promises us his help. Help with those burdens and that we are bearing ourselves, those concerns, problems that we face, that we will help and we will receive the help that we need. And promising that we need help, promises we need help means that we have a need. Part of the reason why we don't come before the Lord and approach his throne sometimes is because we think we don't need any help. We think that we can handle it ourselves. We think that we're okay, that we can manage the problems we're facing, that we can manage the concerns. And then when we realize we can't, then we turn to God. But he's promising us that he'll give us help. The grace and the help comes through two forms. Grace that we need to face every situation in life. The help comes through that word grace. God's grace. And when Paul the apostle three times was carrying a burden in his heart that he had prayed God, that God would remove. And Paul never told us what it was. He just said it was a thorn in his flesh, some kind of infliction that he had. And three times he went before the Lord and he prayed that the Lord would remove it from him. God didn't remove it from him, but he did give him help. Because he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And God promised that help, and he promises the help that we need in the situations of life, no matter what situation you're facing. And it's interesting about that word help, as I looked it up this week and was studying for the sermon, the word that is translated, that the writer here uses for help, is found also in the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 17. And in there it refers to the time, if you read through the reading that we're going through in the 5x5 this year. We just got through that portion. But it says there in Acts, in that story, that Paul was on his way to Rome as a prisoner. And they were going through a storm, and a storm came up at sea. And when the storm got so bad, and the wind was blowing, and the storm was blowing, it all was about ready to tear the ship apart. And the sailors were frantic, and they said, "What are we going to do?" And sometimes we can feel that way in life when the storms are blowing at us and feel like they're going to tear our life apart. And do you ever feel like your life is coming apart at the seams sometimes? And that's what they felt. The boat was ready to be coming apart. And so they wrapped cords or ropes around the ship to hold it together so it wouldn't be torn apart. That's the word for help. It's a nautical term. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying is in those times when it seems like the storms are ready to tear our boat apart, it seems like we're ready to come apart at the seams because of the storms we're facing and the situations we're going through, and it's desperate for us and wonder how we're going to go through, we cry out to our Lord. We come to his throne of grace, and he wraps his cords of rope around us so that our life won't come apart at the seams. Isn't that beautiful? And that's the kind of God he is. And we'll have that help in times of need. Whatever situation you're facing, God's grace, which is sufficient for us. Grace in times of need. Because, friends, and I've known, many of you have said it to me, and I know many of, I've said it myself, that don't know how people go through difficult times in life without the Lord. And how do we ever go through deaths of a loved one? How do we ever go through those hard times without God and without his grace there in those times of need? Where would we be without that? And that's the privilege we have to approach him with confidence. Because you will, not you may, but you will receive help. Grace that you need for every situation of life. But also, we're promised to receive mercy. Not only grace for every situation, but mercy for every to forgive every sin. And that again comes back to his sympathy for us as our high priest. It says, approach his throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. That God promises that mercy to forgive every sin. Not some, but all. And every sin that we've ever committed. And there's times when we mess up and there's times when we fail. Just come before his throne, knowing that he will receive us. He will not cast us away. He will not say, oh, you messed up too many times. You came before me yesterday and you asked me to forgive you for that. I'm not going to forgive you for it today. Aren't you thankful God doesn't deal with us like that? But he says, no, I will show you mercy. Mercy and grace are related. They're cousins. They're very close. And God is both gracious and merciful. And God shows us to show both mercy and grace. But how are they connected? Grace is when we receive what we don't deserve. And mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. When we do deserve punishment or judgment, God doesn't give us to us. That's mercy. And grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, forgiveness, when we shouldn't have it. But they're both connected. And that's the help that he gives us in times of need. And approaching his throne of grace with confidence this morning. I wouldn't dare think of going before a boat of pride of lions and approaching it with confidence. But I would think of going before the lion of the tribe of Judah with confidence because of what he's done for me. And because of that relationship that we have through him in faith. Knowing that he will welcome me, he will welcome you. He is sympathetic, he cares, you will find sympathy, you will find a God who has his heart turned to you, and you will find help for whatever your situation is, for whatever your need may be. His grace, which is sufficient, and his forgiveness and mercy, which is greater than all of our sin. So praise God. So let us approach his throne this morning with confidence, with boldness, with assurance, because we have a sympathetic high priest who is able to sympathize with you and understands all that you're going through and has gone through the curtain into the heavenly place for you and me, making the way open. And you will receive mercy and grace in times of need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a sympathetic high priest. And Lord, that we can rely on you and we can trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us deeply. And when we come before you, you give us welcome. You receive us. Your hand, your scepter is extended to us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to cower in fear before you. But we know that you will receive us gladly. And Father, we thank you that you are sympathetic with us. You understand all that we go through. You understand what temptation is like. You understand loss of death because you experienced it yourself. You understand all that we go through. And you identify with us in every way. And we thank you that we can come before you because you care. You will not turn a deaf ear. You are not an uncaring God. But you love us dearly. We also thank you that you will provide the help that we need, grace to face every situation. And as you taught with Paul, and as you did with Paul, you didn't actually deliver him from that situation that he was facing, but you gave him the grace that he needed in it. And Lord, sometimes it's that way with us. You may not deliver us from the situations we're going through that are unpleasant. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. But in all times, you will give us the grace that we need in those situations to deal with it, and that your grace is always sufficient. And Father, we thank you as well that you give us the mercy in times of sin, that when we confess our sin, you are faithful, you are just, you will forgive us of all sin and unrighteousness if we but ask of you. And so, Lord, we thank you that your forgiveness is complete. But, Lord, we confess to you that there are times that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. That when we ask for your forgiveness, sometimes we have a hard time letting it go because Satan likes to keep bringing it up. But remind us, Lord, that you, when we come before your throne of grace, which is a throne of grace, we receive that mercy and grace in time of need. So thank you, Lord, because of Jesus, because of our faith in him that we profess, that you have opened the way, that you've made it possible that we can come before you. Lord, may we not ever forget the privilege that it is to come into your very own throne room, to know that your scepter is always extended to us and that you will always receive us. And so with that, we come with confidence through Christ our Lord, and in his name, amen.